It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer, ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how to subscribe.
Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk!
Hello and welcome to Let Me Talk Details. This is a respite from the weekly whirlwind of top flight football. It's a space to break down the big picture topics and get into the details away from the game-by-game analysis. I'm David Mooney. As ever, the Athletic City correspondent Sam Lee is alongside me.
Hello.
Sam, what is on today's show?
So we've got sources in the dressing room, FPL leaks and quotes in stories, and we've also got De Bruyne's return from injury.
Let Me Talk Details is a platform for you to get involved as well. We'd love to hear from you, so email hello@lmtpod.com if you've got any questions, thoughts or ponderings about City or football in general. Adam says, how do you get sources in the dressing room? What is a source close to the player? It always sounds made up. Also, how do Fantasy League players get so much team news these days?
There's three questions there. Two have got the same answer, and it's, I wish I knew. And what was the middle one? The middle one was...
What is the source close to the player?
Yeah.
Maybe you can start
made up.
There.
Sometimes it is made up. I don't know. Source quotes, normally, I would say in my experience, but that sounds like I've done it. But I mean, no, from what I've seen, source quotes, we know when it's like a source says, often they're made up, I would say. Maybe I'm wrong. And, you know, journalists will be ready to jump down my throat and tell me I'm wrong.
Because I was often under the impression that that is occasionally the person it's about themselves.
Well, so, yeah, there's that element.
Like, let's take it away from football and just say, let's pluck a name out the air. Now, Julia Roberts, because Pep's favourite. Like a source close to Julia Roberts said, whatever. It's actually Julia Roberts going, well, this is what I think, but don't put my name on it.
Well, this is a stupid rabbit hole to go down so soon. But I feel like if, with no experience in this game, if it were Julia Roberts, she's probably too busy to speak to anyone anyway, but it would be her PR.
Yeah, yeah.
So then it's like, it's effectively her, but it isn't. Whereas in football, probably not at City's, not so much City's level, but the way that City's run, in that it's very kind of closed circle, that there's not an awful lot of leaks, which we'll come on to the FPL stuff in a bit. Try and think of an answer before then. But there's not an awful lot, I would say, of contact directly with City players from journalists. You know, there might be the odd chance encounter or whatever, but it's not, oh yeah, this is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. It's normally one step or two steps removed, which we can get to. But in football, where it is a bit more open at other clubs, obviously clubs a bit lower down as well, I'd say in the Football League as well, it's more likely. You'll just know the guy. It's more of a normal, approachable person. Not that City players aren't necessarily that, but there's a barrier, even if they're normal and approachable, they're protected for sure. And you know, I think chances to see them are few and far between. But lower down, you'll often see that it will be that, or if it's not them, it will be, you know, in the Julia Roberts PR scenario, it'll be an agent. Obviously, then you've kind of got to be wary of, why is the agent telling you that? But yeah, in terms of how to get sources in the dressing room, or it's normally around it as well. I'll just say, in my experience, this is probably normal for most people. I'll say covering City, because again, in other clubs, you might be able to get the players themselves. It's generally an agent, maybe a family member, friend. there's a difference between an agent and somebody who does their kind of social media stuff. Yeah, I'd say those guys generally don't know as much, but they can be good for like detail and background and that
kind of thing. A little detail here.
Yeah, like injury recovery, or, you know, how do they get from this? You know, the classic kind of, oh, they weren't doing well in their first season, now they're doing brilliantly, what do they do? And it was like, Ferran Torres' people were always really good for stuff like that. The little details you'd want to know. And it was, you know, he had like a full-size goal in his house or whatever he'd be practicing finishing in, which obviously at the time it looked like, okay, this is paying off now, I'm not so sure. But his people were always good for that.
Just imagine, and like, I know Ferran Torres wasn't living in a two up, two down, but I've just imagined a full-size goal in like my living room.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, that's the thing, like most of them do live in a flat in the middle of town, like different ones, obviously, not just one. Imagine, it'd be a good TV show.
One of them gets voted out every fortnight.
That's a topic. Who would? And the thing is, because it's basically the Gordon Ramsay meme hierarchy. So as we speak, it'll be like Akanji and Alvarez out first. Which that, the whole Alvarez thing is mad because he's gone from this guy's a world star to this guy's fucking rubbish in like a month. Even though within that month he was replacing Haaland and doing really well. But yeah, that who would get voted off first?
But they're doing challenges in this flat to win immunity or something. Oh, I don't know.
It'd be good that. My mind went somewhere else with that, but we won't do that. So the sources and stuff, in terms of like speaking to agents in the first place, I always kind of overthink it a bit, but you can just call them up and say, especially now I work for The Athletic, there's a bit more like, oh, okay, like, what do you want? Rather than, I don't know who you are, so I'm not going to answer. But it can sometimes be more helpful if you're like, look, I'm going to do a story on, let's say for argument's sake, Doku's background, which his brother's his agent. And despite going to people who were like really close with Jeremy Doku, and they, I think a couple of them asked his brother, oh, go on, will you do it? Because he wouldn't do it with anyone. He still didn't want to do it. So fair enough. But I've always felt it was easier to get to agents if you're saying, look, I'm doing this kind of background thing. Or, in fact, so let's say like something like the Calvin Phillips situation, you know, when Pep said he was overweight. If there's kind of like the player's side of things, that can be useful because obviously it's in the agent's interest then.
To get the player's side of things out.
We can't just have a Guardiola saying he's overweight. We need to say, well, look, it was like 5 grams or whatever. So that can be good. And then obviously if you stay in touch, then it just becomes like how you normally maintain a relationship with anyone, really, which I'm not very good at. See, it's normally those kind of things, like if it suits an agent, basically. But there'll be some who just won't talk flat out with anyone. They just won't engage. Not just, like journalists especially. And that might kind of bring us to the FPL stuff. And I'll probably flick back to where you get information and stuff as we go through. But the FPL stuff, I always feel like there is information that flows. And there is information that will flow within certain circles very easily. Because it's like, I can't give this example because it sounds like I'm singling out somebody in particular who works at City, but I'm not. But you can almost imagine it because you've got like Guardiola's people, the guys who have been everywhere with him, the Catalan guys, you know, the serious fuckers. And you think...
Are these the people that...
It's like the analyst, the fitness coach, Bruno Ventura, Carlos Planchard, that kind of thing.
But these are the people that when he's deciding on his team, he's going, well, I might do this, I might do this. Yeah, I've not decided yet, but let's talk it through.
But it's like with those guys, you feel like they're kind of impenetrable. And why would they just start leaking to certainly journalists? But I can't imagine the kind of people who would run FPL accounts. It could be anyone. Do you know what I mean? But like, I don't see it. But all of a sudden it's like...
FPL genius on Twitter is probably not Manuel Estarte.
No, but we won't go down that rabbit hole either. Then you've got... I don't know, I just feel like... This is basically my hunch on it because I actually don't know where the info is coming from, and if I did, I'd try and have it myself. You know, yeah. I'd be like, "All right, mate, how's it going?" But I feel like it's more like English guys, Manchester guys who work at the training ground. So if we're talking about the team leaks, because that's generally all it is, isn't it? Because I remember when I was away in the summer in Australia, there was that report like, "Oh, Kovacic has done his knee. He went to hospital. He'll be out for 8 months." It's bollocks.
Yeah.
But the FPL stuff generally tends to be right. Again, speaking about that period, it was the Sheffield United game. So what was that, third game of the season? And one of them was like, yeah, Foden's not travelled to Sheffield United, but he is going there by himself and he will be in the squad. And it's like, that is very detailed.
That's strangely specific.
That's not just seeing like a team sheet on the wall, taking a quick picture and sending it to your mate. That's like knowing what's going on.
That's information.
But again, I feel like, you know, Pep's guys, and obviously they're all Pep's guys to an extent, but the real like inner circle, they're not really coming up with, well, they're not really coming out with that information to anyone, because what's the point? So that was obviously very specific, but I just feel like there'll be some, the thing is, like, people say you might be listening to this and it sounds like I know, I genuinely don't know.
Who is?
But yeah, you know, if I say like there could be some like Mank Kit Man, or I don't know, someone who cuts the grass.
Chef.
If they cut the grass, yeah. Maybe they'll see the team on a board somewhere, like a cleaner or something. But you're not knowing the specific. Well, Phil's not traveling. So yeah, I don't know. But I feel like it's just going to be. So when I go back to, I feel like information flows more freely around like a community. It's just like, oh well, yeah, I know. I'm not going to name a name. I don't even know. I know Mark. He works at City. Like we're best mates, and he shares the info with him, and then he shares it with the FPL guy or whatever, or like in that circle or around a football club in fucking Lostock or somewhere. Everyone knows what's going on in City because it's just people talk more freely.
Yeah.
But obviously, when it's a journalist, then obviously information does travel.
But it's kind of like picking your moments.
Maybe don't get the full story. It's maybe more like, I've heard this. You might want to check it out. And you end up in this weird scenario, which the FPL stuff highlights quite well, actually. But it goes on. You know, the FPL highlights it well because people understand, because they see those leaks on Twitter and it still gets out there to people. But there'll be situations where it's like, you know, a former City player who might have liked going to a pub at a certain time. People in that pub and around that area will know what he was like.
Mm.
And maybe that's the same now in West London, I don't know. But the journalists wouldn't necessarily know that. But those people in that community would, because it's like, well, I'm not telling anybody who's going to get in trouble. This is just what we're saying. But when it's a journalist, it's like, oh, I've got to be a bit more careful with that. So that's the kind of irony of those FPL scenarios. I feel like there should be an Athletic article on it. Maybe there hasn't been, because it's not just City.
It's everywhere.
Fair play for City. But yeah, but again, it's everywhere and it's early. Because it's not like it's somebody who sits in an office at Sky or the BBC who
get the team sheets like 5 minutes earlier than
I think it's
15
more than everybody else. And maybe they somehow get it sooner. But generally the broadcasters, like the radio pundits,
the TV pundits, they get 15
minutes before. But it's out well before that. In some cases, it's out the night before.
Sometimes definitely
the morning of the game.
I know it's not FPL related because it's Champions League, but think of that day in Porto. Everyone knew the team before the final.
That day in Porto. So we were out for lunch. A lot of the journalists, a couple of other people, and one of the other people at the table said, oh, my mate works at so-and-so. And it was like a broadcaster thing. But it was like, so what would kickoff have been? Like 8 p.m.? But we were having lunch at, let's say, 2 or something.
It's UK time as well, wasn't
it? Yeah, UK time. Well, so
in fact, Porto, it's the same time zone, isn't it? Yeah.
It was one of those teams where you think...
Can't be doing that.
That can't be the team. How would they know in this particular position? Because it didn't sound particularly... Even though it was like a well-known broadcaster, it was like an arm of it, which didn't sound particularly convincing. And you just think, I don't know. But I remember thinking, oh, I've heard this, so let's check it out. Sent a few messages around, and nobody was replying. Because again, you know, to be fair, a lot of the like agents of players or whatever, they'd go to ground because they don't want to let anything out, which is going to effectively harm the team or could harm the team. But then it got to a point where I remember being back in my hotel. And I think David Ornstein was like, yeah, I've been able to confirm it. That's true. And genuinely, and I've said this a lot, I think who was I speaking to about this recently? It might have been one of the lads I bumped into in Copenhagen. But genuinely, as soon as I saw that, and there was no way I could have known, and City could have gone on to win. But as soon as I heard that it was legit, probably like 4 hours before kickoff, I was like, forget it. He's messed it up. And I just thought, I don't know, like, that's it. Like, he's done it again, kind of thing.
We can talk about it now. It's okay because they won it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that was it. I just remember, and like, because we went to the stadium, we were there a few hours before kickoff, and it was kind of open on the sides and stuff. So, like, Jack went out to a balcony, like, for a smoke or something. It was with John Smith, who was with ESPN at that point. Maybe he was at Goal. And obviously, I was with The Athletic. And we were just kind of talking about the game. And I just had it in my head, 100% convinced. I was like, well, they're not going to win. That's it. Like, lineup doesn't make any sense. Don't know why he's done it. And I was just fully convinced. And then the way the game went, I went,
phew. Saw that coming.
Yeah, exactly. Like, whatever. But again, yeah, that managed to come out then. But that might have come out.
I know it's not FPL because it's not. But the thing is,
I remember vividly my experiences of it, but I don't remember. Was that all over Twitter?
It was all over
in
Twitter.
The hours before.
Yeah. I wasn't in Porto. I didn't go.
It was quite a hard trip to get on, wasn't it? Because it was only times, there was isolation within the stadiums, and you had to sit a certain amount of people away from others and stuff like that. Yeah.
I remember seeing people on Twitter talking about, you know, in the bar and stuff, that where they were, that, you know, they'd seen the team and, you know, everything, like the mood had dropped, all that sort of thing. And for me at home, I remember I'd seen it come out hours before on Twitter and was like, well, you can't be doing that. An hour before kickoff, teams announced it's confirmed player for player. It's exactly spot on, that leak.
Yeah. It's interesting as well. I think this time as well in Istanbul, the team... There were whispers about it, but I don't think anybody really went for it this time, but there were whispers that Walker wasn't playing.
And I mean, the thing that surprises me with it is, like, years and years ago when Guardiola started at City, we always used to play in our WhatsApp group. We had a separate WhatsApp group set up called Baldy's 11. That was every game you predicted the lineup, and the first person to get it spot on won the pot, and like you'd stick, I can't remember if it was a quid or a five or whatever per game, and if nobody won it, it rolled over to the next game. You got weeks and weeks and weeks till somebody got it right. And then you look at the FPL accounts, like week after week after week, they've got the starting 11 and it's right every time. So like it's clearly not like there are some elements, there are some teams you go, well, this week he'll play this, he'll go unchanged because that's what David Moyes does in this situation. Guardiola's just, it's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of that Porto one, they know they messed that up as well. And look, maybe there's more instances of, well, there will be over the course of like 8 or 9 years at City. But they know they messed up with that one. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, well, but we did this, because there obviously was those reasons. Mm. In fact, no, the not playing a holding midfielder thing was more, you know, play Gundogan there because he can do it, although he hadn't done it for, 2 years?
Mm.
And he's done it since, but unfortunately, not on that day. But it was like, we're going to have more of the ball than Chelsea. He'll help us with that. That will help. And I think they stand by that.
Can't
but
fault
I never managed to
that,
get
yeah.
a proper answer on Sterling. It was just a kind of... shake their heads and we messed up with that kind of thing. But I mean, again, in terms of, you know, that, those are conversations with people who know what's going on, getting the sources. It's generally just making contact with the agent for one reason or another, and they'll either kind of reply or not, and then the relationship kind of goes from there. But again, it's like you need to have so many different people. I can only really speak for City, but to know certain things, it's like people ask me about injuries or transfers or just like tactical stuff, and it's like there's obviously some people who will know all three, but maybe on the transfers front it's more general, like I know the people they're going for, but not like, oh, we bid this
for this
today
point.
We bid this much, they've said that, and you need to have a lot of different people in different areas, and you can have people who know loads of stuff about, let's say, injuries, you know, because it's easy to imagine, isn't it? Let's say you know a doctor. Easy, he got all the info, but doesn't really know what's going on with the transfers, apart from, you know, the players are talking about this and that can help. But then when it comes to like breaking, oh, Man City, you've bid 45 million for X player, they ain't going to know that. You need a load of different sources, but yeah, source quotes generally made up. A source close to the player, they will be close to the player. Often it is the player. I wouldn't say that's the case at City.
It's not hard and fast rule, no.
Or, you know, oh, I don't know. Source close to the coaching staff. It's either on the coaching staff or somebody knows what they're thinking. That's probably about it. There's all kinds of things. And, you know, sources can come and go. You know, if somebody leaves the club then you're square one.
The other thing to kind of address is there's a lot of people who will instantly dismiss a quote because there's no name attached to it. And I think there is a flip side of, like, from a journalist point of view, you need that person to keep speaking to you.
Yeah.
So you can't name them. You can't, because if you name them, they're not going to have the access to that information.
It's funny because sometimes agents or whoever say, oh, like, make sure my name's not in this. And it's like, I talk about this with other journalists sometimes whenever an agent asks this. It's like, obviously not, mate. Like, obviously not. But I get from an agent's point of view, you've just got to say it because it's just kind of your...
You've covered yourself.
Safety blanket. Yeah. It's like, well, I've said it. Everyone knows anyway, like, really. But it's funny because
if everyone knows anyway, can't they accept that? Can't they say, well, put my name in it because everyone knows it's me anyway?
No, I mean, everyone knows you don't name people.
Oh, sorry, okay.
Yeah, you don't want to, yeah. I can't even imagine the headache. I feel like we've moved away from, because about 10 years ago, there'd always be, you know, transfer story. I definitely have feel like we've moved away from this now as like a population. There'd be a transfer story about whatever. Everyone, the comments would be, there's no quotes. It's like, are you fucking stupid? That used to wind me up so much. I was still at uni at that time. Like, I didn't even have any stories to put out. But it was like, are you stupid? Who do you want these quotes to be from?
The player. The How player does themselves. This work? I want to go to...
What are you on about? Like, what do you mean there's no quote? And I'm so glad we've kind of...
As a society, I wouldn't deal very well with
if I'd done a transfer story and it was like, oh, there's no quotes. Like, what quote would make you... I feel like maybe that's why there's not so many source quotes around now, because there's less of a demand for it. So there's less need for an editor to be like, oh yeah, just put... Because the thing is, it doesn't really matter if they're made up anyway. Because if you know the information's true, it's just a way to sell it a bit more. Yeah, I know. You can feel
that
free.
Doesn't feel good that though, does it?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Like I say, when I said earlier on, I wouldn't want to say in my experience, because I don't think I've ever had to use them anyway. If it's like a more of an in-depth athletic thing, like why did he do this for his rehab or whatever, you can use those source quotes, because that, you know, if you're speaking to a lot of people, there generally will be, or you know, if it's something tactical, I've used them then, and there have just been, oh yeah, well, Dominic Torrent told me that, but I didn't want to name him. You know, it's that kind of thing. Once he'd left, I've done a few interviews with him, that kind of thing. But when it's a transfer stuff like that, it's like, well, you wanted quotes? Here they are, mate. It's all true. But that bit's just fabricated. I don't really have a problem with it. And, you know, if the whole thing's fabricated and there's a fabricated quote to go with it, then that's out of order. But I feel like if the message is true...
If the information is...
Then,
okay.
Then fair enough.
I don't know where that sits with me, you know. I'm not sure.
It's fine. I get it. To be honest, I hadn't really thought about it until I just said it. But I feel like if people were like, well, I'm not sure about that... I feel like...
Because I feel
no,
like...
No, I'm obviously on the other side of the fence to it.
I feel on that instance where if you know all the information's true...
You don't need it.
You don't need it, so just don't use it.
But it's like, well, if people... Like, if an editor's like, oh, we need a quote in this or whatever, it's like... What? And, you know, obviously sometimes they're not all made up. But if it's like, well, if you're telling me we need a quote on, you know, people want a quote in it, then there you go. But again, you're never going to have... We're going back to the, you know, when people said it like 10, 15 years ago, there's no quotes. Like, who are you expecting to hear from it? Who's going on the record here? But again, I think people just... I think we've probably moved away from that. I just think people know more about how it works now. Like, who would ever put their name to that? I was going to say, even if it is true, but it is. But then you also get certain levels of info where, you know, the amount of times we've talked about transfers or tactical stuff over the years, and it's been like, well, this is what I've heard. But, like, you know, the Kyle Walker thing in the summer? Well, I was like, even if he doesn't go to Bayern Munich, this is 100% true. And it's like, you can call me whatever you want. This is true. And it's like... Again, listen to that. You might be like, how could you like possibly say that? Like, that's so arrogant. But it's like, well, it just is. And obviously, fortunately, again, he confirmed it in the mixer and then he did it in that Sun interview. So it's like that backs you up. And that, as a journalist, that's perfect. Because if you say something that didn't happen and then it gets backed up later on, you can only be comfortable with what you've done anyway. If you know it's right, like the Alves thing, it was right and then he changed his mind, fine. And then if he then admits it later on, perfect. Because he's like, well, it was like, I was comfortable enough with it anyway, but then all these people, now they know. But yeah, now sometimes you'd be like, it's not that you don't think it's true, because then in that case, you just don't publish it, you don't do it. And then I'm always having conversations with other journalists and it's like, oh, I thought this was going to happen, if only we'd done it. But it's like, yeah, but then all the ones that you're not sure about, if you did publish it and they didn't turn out to be true,
it just goes
you'd be going
it,
the other way and you'd be like, well, I should never have done that. So you just got to play it safe.
Yeah, works both ways.
So you do the stories you are sure of, but then it's like you kind of, I remember when Haaland was... in that process of picking City, Real Madrid, you know, it seemed to go on for like 3 months. And I'll say it was Jack. You know, Jack obviously did one of the big stories. There's no point in me saying, oh, a journalist, because people will just go, well, that was Jack who did that story. So it was Jack and one of his colleagues from the Mail on like a Friday night and said like, oh, City have got an agreement for Haaland. So everyone was like, fuck, yeah, brilliant. And then I think it was the Monday after City had Palace away. We went down on the train together and like some Madrid YouTuber was like, oh, Haaland news from Madrid or whatever. And obviously, because I speak a bit of Spanish, I was watching it and he was just so nervous. Because once you do a story like that...
Your name's on it, yeah.
Your name's on it. And even if it is true, if it doesn't happen, like me and the Grealish situation, which was awful. Because again, that was obviously true because he's at City now and we know. But if he'd have changed his mind and stayed at Villa, that would have been terrible for me.
We'll be back in a few minutes after an ad break. Speak to you shortly.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials. Mark says, Kev's return from injury has been impressive, particularly given that following previous injuries, he's taken his time to find his rhythm. He's openly talked about doing things differently, and you've touched on aspects of this on the podcast. He referenced enjoying his time with his family and having a complete rest. You've referenced him working with people in Belgium. How does that link to City's people? There's been mentions of changes to diets. People have commented that he looks to have put on muscle as well as the hair, and he's talked about changes in his training regime. You've mentioned that he's taken responsibility for that change as well. Why now? Given that this is one of the world's best players, playing for one of the world's best clubs, with an incredible wraparound regime, and the fact that he's 32, I get that'll be part of the mindset change. Can you tie it all together? And Sam, this comes as obviously De Bruyne has been back in form. City have put out a little mini documentary about his behind the scenes recovery, which doesn't go to answer a lot of those questions. We just kind of get to see, you know, him doing the rehab and stuff. But it is a different rehab this time around for him.
Yeah, I've not seen that yet. At the time of recording, have you seen it all?
I've seen it. Yeah.
So
I'm in it.
Oh, okay.
They used a soundbite from Blue Moon Podcast, and I was like, "Whoa, that's me!" There we are. That's nice.
Fair enough. Royalties for that.
Took me by surprise.
Yeah, that must be nice. Yeah, like, yeah, going back to relationships and stuff, like, I'm never ever going to be in anything like officially City, which is a shame. Only from a payment perspective, I guess, because who's asked? So I think this is basically a follow-up question based on what we've already talked about with De Bruyne, and chances are, if you listen to this, you probably listen to that. And it's basically just looking for a bit more information. And the bits I could highlight that wanted to know more of was, what do you mean he was doing work with Belgian guys, and why these changes now? So I don't think it's going to be a particularly long answer, particularly compared to the first section of this podcast. But in terms of the Belgian guys, he had the surgery in Belgium. I don't think he wanted it done with Cougat, or there was a decision made not to do it with Cougat. A personal preference there.
Yeah, personal choice.
You know, having worked with the Belgian physios in the past, national team. But then it's just kind of, as far as I know, just the boring kind of, if a player's injured, they'll consult. And there's a collaboration between the club and the national team doctors, and they'll do it that way. The vast majority of it was in Manchester or Abu Dhabi, because obviously there was like a warm weather element to it. And this was after he just had time off, which, you know, we've already discussed, and he's talked about himself.
Just on the surgery, the one thing from the documentary that City put out was, ultimately, he's been having hamstring injuries a lot, and like the muscle needed had just got weak, and he described it as a wet paper towel as what it had become. And that's, I think that's a Flemish phrase, like a way that it to describe kind of a weak muscle sort of thing. It'd become like a wet paper towel, and that's why the injury depends was as bad brand. As it was. Well, it does. I mean, all...
if you're splashing out for £3 a roll, then wet paper towel's fine. Yeah, stronger as anything. Stronger.
Yeah. Yeah, my image was, do you remember when you used to get hurt at school and you go, well, go and get a wet paper towel? And you'd like you'd just have a wet paper towel and it's like, oh, you'd put that on.
Magic sponge kind of thing.
Magic sponge. Doesn't mean anything, doesn't do anything. You just stick a wet paper towel on it and you're fine. But that was the image I got. But he was talking about basically like the muscle had got too weak and that's why it went. And I think part of the surgery was just cleaning it all up, just making it kind of streamlined again.
Yeah, well, surgery is like last resort really for muscle injuries and stuff. You never want to be in the situation where you are having surgery and having to go through the rehab and all that kind of stuff. But obviously that was the situation he was at. But yeah, in terms of the Belgian stuff, I think it's a personal preference. Would rather have it in Belgium than, you know, with City's operation, or at least the outsourced Kuget operation. Pardon the pun. And then it was just, you know, not so much sticking with those guys, but taking the advice from those guys, which, you know, presumably just built up a good trust with through years with the national team, but also with the City doctors as well. But yeah, it was all done in Manchester and Abu Dhabi. That's pretty much it. And then the other thing, like, why now? Like, I feel like with these things, obviously there's an element of we need information. Like, us just assuming stuff never really cuts it when it comes to football, because we don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know the demands. We don't know the skill it takes. We don't know the mindset. You know, when we talk about Guardiola going, oh, well, he'll leave on a high, or, you know, oh, he'll go now because he's achieved. Like, Guardiola can never achieve enough. You know, we can't assume he will do what we would do because it's completely different. But I do feel like there's certain kind of just human principles that apply to all people. So it's like, why is De Bruyne like changing his diet and his approach to matches now? Why does anyone in their 30s stretch more than when they're in their 20s? Because even though you're a footballer and you got this care, you just need to take more care of yourself. Mm. In your 30s.
And it's almost that, because like obviously Mark says at one point there, you know, he's at the best club in the world with the best resources in the world and the best sort of like thinking in the world. You're kind of like, well, they should be at him to do this earlier. And it's like, it doesn't need to be that way, does it? It doesn't, like, you don't, just because you've got that set up, like what was working for him, what he was doing previously was working for him fine. Mm. And so
the
now...
Set up at City is fantastic in terms of the...
Yeah. But his situation now has changed in that he's older. It doesn't, like, his body doesn't work as well as it used to in various different ways. He has to stretch a bit more, and that's fine.
And the thing is, like, I guess everyone's got it. If you're listening to this and you're above 30, and if you're not, then fuck off. But when you get
subscribing.
But when you get to above 30, you obviously just, it's natural, isn't it? Because I think when I got to 30, I was like, well, I don't really mind. Age is just a number or whatever. It just depends on how you feel. Now I'm 35, I'm like, I'm basically dead.
How is your shoulder, by the way?
Yeah. Anyway, it's the back that's the problem at the minute. But with that, I think as a footballer...
I'm older than you. I don't know why I'm laughing about this.
Yeah, your back's worse. Yeah, I think as a footballer, those feelings are probably even more heightened, because you're actually getting towards retiring. You're getting towards a world that you've never really known. Hmm. You know, not playing football every day. And also, you might be worrying, not just like, oh, I'm nearly retiring, but are you going to tail off significantly before you do retire? So I'm sure those feelings are only magnified. And again, like, so when I said about City's care being fantastic, it's, you know, obviously you hear stuff over the years, you read stuff, some of the books that have been put out, you speak to people. But I remember doing an interview with, like, Gabriel Jesus. He doesn't work with them anymore, but Gabriel Jesus is former, like, personal trainer. And again, that was like a collaborative thing. So he's like, Jesus had his own guy who's Brazilian, lived in Manchester, did his own stuff. But that was all collaborative with people at City. You know, they'd do all the blood tests like every month or whatever. Mm. And they'd be like, oh, it was like a traffic light system, like red, amber, green for different levels of like omega-3 or whatever, magnesium in your blood. Oh, you need to have more of this to get this. And like everything's like fully thought of. But I guess there's just an element of, so bring it back to De Bruyne. And why he's changed now. Whatever he did before worked, really.
Yeah.
And okay, we know he's had injuries in the past.
But there's
and
another...
it was harder for him to come back from. But he was never injury prone, was he?
No.
So like whatever he did worked. And like, just so I have said this already, but his like pre-match preparation would be like, you know, some players would go in and have loads of massages. Who was telling me this? Was it Nadim telling me this? Somebody told me. Jerome Boateng would have a massage for 2 hours, 2 hour massage before every training session. How do you have enough time in the day for that?
He isn't doing his own hoovering though. That's the
no, don't start. So he'd have a two-hour massage. But like De Bruyne at the other end of the spectrum would just like sit and have a chat, get his kit on. And what he needed to do to just be relax. To be in his best headspace or whatever, is just to be relaxed. And that's how he would relax. And that's how he'd go out and play. Mm. You know, some people are, they might need the, you can imagine Diaz like punching the wall, saying, come on, boy. But for De Bruyne, you can imagine De Bruyne going out, like not listen to anyone really, just stroll out there and do what he does. But now he's like, well, because I've had this bad injury, because I'm 32, I need to
stretch.
I need to do it. The exercises I'm doing now, less high impact. So I'm losing weight at a slower rate and I'm getting fit at a slower rate than I was before. But I'm doing more stretches and I'm protecting my joints more because like I need to. That's the reality. To be honest, I wish I'd known that in my mid-20s. But there's just the element of the body changes. You do what's best for you after, like due to injuries or whatever. So I think that's just a kind of a fairly obvious principle with De Bruyne. Like he's over 30. He's getting towards the last few years of his career. He's had a bad injury. And he's known that in the past, whatever he's done.
Yeah.
You know, there's also that element of stubbornness as well. He's probably thought, well, okay, yeah, it's taken me a bit of time to get back to fitness, but I have always got back to fitness. I've always got back to sharpness. I'll do what I'm going to do. And you can imagine him having that stubbornness of, well, I'm not going to change that because it works, it's fine, whatever. But after a serious injury like that, your mind changes a bit and you think, actually, I could do with changing a little bit.
The serious injury thing is interesting as well because his previous injuries haven't been that serious. It's been like muscle pulls here and there. And take it to the complete extreme other end of the scale. I remember speaking to Nicky Weaver years ago about his injury and his rehab to it. And he said to me that the moment that he was told the seriousness of it and like he'd had the operation and he knew the rehab was going to be long, he quit drinking. He quit, like, it's a different era, obviously, because he's like there's different standards. But he said, basically, he stopped everything. He said, the exact phrase was, I lived like a monk for a year.
Mm.
Because I needed to know that if I never got back playing football again, I'd done everything. I could to have been able to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess it's kind of the same with De Bruyne. He said this serious injury, if he never hits the standard that he previously did or could not get fit, he needs to know that everything in his rehab this time, like he couldn't have done that better.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. So that's it really. Like just a bit older, serious injury. As you can see, the diet. And I don't know. Was there anything on the documentary about the diet? Like exactly what he's eating? Like he wouldn't have been eating terribly before. But I just think it's.
I don't
think
there was. I don't remember
physical prep.
There's certainly something about the hair.
The hair, yeah. But again, what do they say about the hair? Because I'm imagining, you know, people are like, oh, midlife crisis kind of thing. But I do imagine it's a kind of fresh thing. Like,
he didn't care. He's just like, I was growing it out, and I just thought, keep growing it out.
Yeah, that's just classic De Bruyne thing, isn't it? But again, I feel like there's some kind of element of change there. Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm in this weird scenario where I'm not playing football. I don't have to play football. I can have a break. Your mindset's just slightly different, and then you might, I might just grow my hair, and then he's like, I'll keep it. But there must be an element of, you know, people are like, midlife crisis or whatever. It's like you're just being dicks.
Yeah,
but
he hadn't just bought a new sports changed. Car though.
Yeah, so, exactly. Well, he might have.
Yeah, we don't know.
For like, why not? But yeah, I don't know. I just feel with that. You are going through some kind of mindset change. So whether it's fashion choices, because there was obviously videos of him cropping the Formula One and stuff. Mm. But again, he was just enjoying life, weren't he? Like just no pressure of football. You're not expected to be back anytime soon. It was something that he's not really experienced because what do you get really? 2 or 3 weeks off. So yeah, just enjoying life. I mean, it's good to be in that, you know. I don't know, maybe everyone's just like this anyway.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something really bleak then. Wish I could enjoy life.
No, but it is that kind of thing. I don't know if everyone's like this, but it's like, you know, when you can just really... It's the feeling I kind of get when you've just kind of finished work before a holiday or Christmas. And it's just like, life can't be any better.
Looking forward to this.
You know, yeah, exactly. This is all great. I'm either going on holiday with these people, I'm doing Christmas with it, and I don't have to worry about work or whatever else. That's the kind of thing. And maybe it was just that kind of like... I'm enjoying myself here. I'm in a good frame of mind. Like I say, the pressure of football is, you don't have to worry about it. Must have been fairly rare and fair play.
That's it for this episode of Let Me Talk Details. Sam, there was more from this episode for members. What extra bits can people hear?
So we're looking at the most underrated and most improved players at City under Pep Guardiola.
If you'd like longer ad-free versions, even earlier, all the useful links are in the episode description and over on lmtpod.com. If you want to ask us a question or send us a voice note on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok, just search for LMT Pod. Or you can send us an email, hello@lmtpod.com. All the useful links are in the episode description and over on lmtpod.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.